That song, Un Rêve de Liberté, was Andrea Bocelli, A Dream of Freedom, and maybe that's what a lot of Victorians are, and Melburnians particularly, are experiencing right now, a dream, or maybe a nightmare, about freedom. Anyway, last year our Adelaide team member Diane Matson covered the Ubud Writers Festival in Ubud, Bali, where she was among many who packed in to hear Israeli chef Yotam Ottolenghi. This year, it's a coronavirus-driven ghost town, as Diane discovers, when she checks in with festival organiser and Ubud hotelier, Australian Janet Deneef, who does understand the need to control the virus, currently infecting more than 3,000 people each day on the island of Bali.
Things are a little bit dire in Bali at the moment, aren't they, Janet?
Hi, Diane. Not great. Tourism is at a standstill and a lot of businesses are closed. So it's a borderline ghost town, actually.
And we've heard news that instead of opening up in September, the governor has decided that he's not allowing internationals in, particularly Australians as well, until the end of the year. What do you think about that?
Yeah, of course, everybody's disappointed, but I guess at the same time, we understand that we have to consider everybody's health and well-being. So it's an unpleasant decision in a way, but I do believe it's for the best for everybody.
Mm-hmm. And we were talking a little while ago about your particular establishment and how you're affected, that it's the business is down. What sort of percentage?
Probably 95%. Mm. A hotel is, I think it's 49 rooms. We have one room occupied now, which is great, We had two rooms occupied a couple of weeks ago.
Are they locals that are occupying the rooms then?
Well, funnily enough, we had one girl from Jakarta staying with us for 3 months. She's just gone. And she was very busy, so I thought maybe she was writing a book or something. And there's one other girl, so they're long-term guests, which is great. It certainly contributes to operational costs. I don't think it covers them, but anyway, it's not a bad place to be, actually, if you've got work to do and you want a cheap place to stay and nice and peaceful surroundings. One restaurant is open, Casa Luna, so we've kept that open the whole time. Again, not covering operational costs, but at least we just felt we had to stay open, and we're surviving on, how many guests that come in each day and also deliveries. So
Is no stimulus in Bali, is there? No package for the workers?
No. I think some of the Banjars were offering assistance, and there was talk of some sort of financial assistance for some, but I haven't heard what happened about that did it get off the ground or not. I mean, there's some pretty fantastic organisations that are helping to feed people around the place, so, but otherwise, you're sort of left to your own devices.
Sure. And there are some reports that some people in Bali are deciding to forget tourism, going back to growing food.
Yeah, I don't think they're forgetting tourism. They're just looking for other ways to survive. Mm. Agriculture's in their blood anyway, and they're really good at it, especially even the young guys. So I've just been so moved by the stories. In fact, we're doing our own little documentary series for our festival, just looking at what's happening on the land with some of these young Balinese. We've just filmed one the other day of a guy that's decided to revive the family's vanilla plantation, because there was a bug that wiped it out many years ago. So he's actually now gone back to that and starting to see how far he can get with that. So there's all sorts of really inspirational stories around the island of young people going back to the land. I mean, they love the land and they sort of connect with that. All their ceremonies are kind of about the land, so they're really good at that.
So what are you feeling is going to happen in terms of tourism? How long do you think end of the year is realistic?
I guess we're all just optimistic. I'd love to think that the doors were open again in January. because, you know, every day people are saying to me, oh my God, I miss Bali. So I sort of think when the borders open up and when people feel safe to travel, that's the next part of it. Of course people will come back here because I don't believe there's any other place like Bali on the planet, to be honest. So, you know, people really are missing here because it's sort of like a second home.
Yeah.
So we can only hope that we're ready to open in January. But I sort of feel it's, I don't know, who do we speak to sort of say, look, guys, if we don't control this, because viruses love Balinese ceremonies, you know, they hop all over the place and go crazy. And if people are getting back to their ceremonial routine because that's what matters to them, the downside of that is, you know, it's going to slow up their chance of recovery as such. So
yeah, and are people getting a little bit blasé about it, as you've said before? Are they wearing masks? Are they just learning to live with it?
Wearing masks. No, they've been wearing masks from day one. They're okay with that. But, you know, there's sort of a few – well, this is because this is coming up to wedding season, you see. Mm. And at the start of the whole COVID kind of pandemic in Bali, everybody was really quiet and sort of stayed home. But I think now you can only stay home for so long. It wasn't lockdown. It was just self-appointed lockdown. And I guess, yeah, they love those ceremonies. It's their whole reason for being.
And you said that some of your staff, you're obviously on a bit of a skeleton staff, but you're able to help some in other ways with packages of rice. And...
because we did have to close a couple of our businesses. And we just, the problem with the pandemic was when it started, because normally, when the bombings, for example, started or occurred, that was in October, so we'd come through a very successful tourist season, you know, from July, August, September. So we were doing okay with that. So when October hit and the bombings, you know, certainly Casaluna, we kept all our staff on full pay for 6 months and we could do that. But with the pandemic, because it hit us March, April, we'd come out of a very bad Christmas season. You know, November, December is terrible. January is always terrible, and so is February. So we were kind of all struggling by then. So we closed a couple of our businesses. We've got, I think, half of our staff we're still employing, but they're on, you know, maybe even less than half wages now. But so many people asked me at the time, how can we help all, you know, our lovely our staff, you know, because like I said, they're like family. So that's when I started the Casaluna Fund to help support all the others that we couldn't fully support during these times. So we've been able to give them sacks of rice and the things that they asked for, actually. And we're still doing that. We've got about two more months to help look after the staff. I mean, it's still not what the wage they normally get, but it's...
Everybody help. So what would you say to Australian travellers and people wanting to come and wine and dine and holiday in Bali, and should they be booking in advance and hoping to get credits and just keep on turning it over? Or
I guess it depends on what's what the hotels and businesses are offering. So I guess just keep your eyes out, and we are waiting for you to return with open arms. But we understand that it's hard for Aussies to travel, and also there's the confidence issue. Like, do people really want to get on a plane right now? And do they want to come to a place?
Do you think once it starts up again, is Bali going to be very tentative, or will it be much more... even more open and welcoming?
More welcoming than ever before. I worry about the people here because I sadly think by then they will be pretty desperate. It's really because, you know, they don't really have savings, and, you know, their ceremonies chew up a big hole in whatever money they can put aside anyway. So I think by then they'll just be like jumping up and down. Please save us, you know.
All right, well, thank you very much for your time, Janet, and we'll probably keep in touch with you and talk to you again in a few months' time, if that's okay.
Yep, thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
Diane Matson there, speaking with Australian expat in Ubud, Bali, Janet Deneef.
You're listening to the Travel Writers Show on JAIR 87.8 FM.